When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's Friday. It's lit in Cleveland, too. Welcome to First Take. I'm Brian Custer in for Molly. Look, I got my frat. I got RC, Ryan Clark with me. Dan Orlovsky with us as well.
We're not in the same fraternity.
No. We are not. No, you could be, though, Dan.
Yeah, yeah, you could be. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we let our lighter complected brothers into the fraternity.
I'd write you a recommendation letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Be my sponsor.
Yeah. They can be in the back and do your little hazing, you know, make them a scroller. Listen, you know, everybody's been doing resolutions on this show. Shannon Sharp said he's going to become the best dressed guy on this show in the new year. Stephen A., of course, responded on X. Take a look at what Stephen A. had to say. He said, Shannon, you have no chance. Ryan is great, but not consistent enough.
Dang.
Sustainability, consistency matters, swagoo. And he told Molly, this is just about the fellas. It's not about her. Now, Dan, I also saw that you responded there with, am I not on the show?
Yeah, I'm on the show 2 days a week. There's only five that it's actually on.
Yeah.
Not one mention of me.
Yeah, so it's just your opportunity. Respond to the brother.
I just don't understand. Why could I not be a part of that tweet from
I mean, because like, and so a lot of times you can only acknowledge the true challengers, right? So it wasn't like it was like, think about
it. He put Marcus in there.
Yeah, but
Marcus ain't a challenger.
He didn't say anything about Marcus's clothes. He just said swagoo.
He just wrote the word.
He just liked saying swagoo. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't mention Bart.
Right.
You know, he didn't mention, it's only about the fella, so not Kimberly Moore. Like, he didn't mention Mad Dog. He didn't mention.
He did. He put Mad Dog in there. That's my point.
Is Mad Dog in there?
Yeah.
You should feel disrespected.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I didn't know Mad Dog was in there.
Oh! Yeah.
Yeah, Dan.
You know, at first, RC, I was like, maybe he just didn't put me in there because I'm white, you know? And then I saw Mad Dog in there.
That's not it. I actually have no words for you, Dan.
Yeah, right.
You should feel disrespected.
Yeah, you should feel slighted.
Hey, Russell Wilson was treated better than you were this season in that tweet.
Stephen A. came to me and said, unless you start dressing better, we're going to amend your contract.
Right. There you go, exactly. We're going to get to Russell in a minute, but let's get to, of course, the big story of the day, and it was the resurgence of Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns. It continues. Flacco threw for 300 yards again, three touchdowns. The defense got a pick six. Browns beat the Jets, clinched the playoff spot for the first time in 3 years, and Joe Cool is loving the in Flacco we trust chance he heard during the game.
It's cool. I mean, just put yourself in that position. I mean, you can't deny it. I said it from the very beginning. I mean, the city's been unbelievable. It was special. I mean, this is obviously a very unique situation for me. So a lot of different emotions are going through my head, and my teammates have been unbelievable, like in terms of just embracing me onto this football team. So it's all been great. And it makes it that much more special to, you know, be able to come in here and play some good football.
Fellas, I want you to really take a look at what Flacco has done. He's thrown for 1,616 yards in his first five games there with the Browns. Third most passing yards by a player in his first five games with a team all-time, trailing only Drew Bledsoe, who did it in 2002 with the Bills. Kirk Cousins, of course, did it in 2018 with the Vikings. Dano, I'll go to you since you're our quarterback. When it comes to Flacco, is this lightning in a bottle or something more, you think?
Oh, it's definitely something more. It's specific to this offense and the way that it's kind of wanted to be run with Kevin Stefanski. If you look at that chart that we just put up, the graphic, the person's name second was Kirk Cousins. The play caller for that year, I believe, was Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. So, you know, it's we have to sit there and say there's a reason why, and RC said this before, this is the best quarterback play they've had in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And one of the reasons is because this offense is the star. This offense doesn't need the quarterback to be the star. Joe Flacco is allowing the offense and the plays to be the star. He's 4-1 as their starter. His passer rating is 100+. He's got 13 touchdowns and 8 picks. It's the perfect situation for him. It's the same offense he ran when he was hot in Baltimore under Gary Kubiak. And if we have to be honest about the situation in Cleveland, why and how can a guy that has been, this is his best season in 5 years now as well. It wasn't like Joe Flacco balled in 2021 or something. Right. It's his best year right now in five. How can he come from right off of the street, essentially, and within 5 or 6 weeks, take this offense to the playoffs, and because of the quarterback play attached with the defense, and have its best performance at that position over the course of the last 2 years?
Yeah.
That's why this is not a lightning in the bottle. There is something that is tangibly there. Maybe it's not with a Joe Flacco specific, but there's definitely something when it comes to why does the offense look better significantly than it has over the course of two seasons.
I think what you said about the offense being the star is number one, right? When you have a Deshaun Watson or you have these guys with some of these unique talents, especially being able to use their legs, you start to mold your offense into what you think they can be,
right,
into what you think they are. Now Kevin Stefanski is doing what he really wants to do. It's the reason that Kirk Cousins is mentioned with the Cleveland Browns anytime Kirk Cousins becomes someone that could be on the trade block, because Kevin Stefanski doesn't need this dude that could go so far above the X's and O's. He needs somebody that can execute what he's asking. And that's what Joe Flacco has done at a higher level than any quarterback in the last 2 years for the Cleveland Browns. But here's also why I say it's lightning in the bottle.
Okay.
Because any other quarterback that we're expecting a certain thing from that has 8 interceptions in 4 games, one of those being a pick six, 2 of those being a pick six, Tremaine Edmonds with the Chicago Bears, obviously nice. Jermaine Johnson last night, we start to say, well, that's not sustainable, right? Because then when we project that throughout the entire season, we're looking at a guy that has over 20 interceptions.
Sure.
Right? And so that's not the sort of play that we think is championship play. It also shows, though, that Joe Flacco playing with house money. Right. Joe Flacco was at his house, and not only just at his house, Joe Flacco was at his house because in given opportunities in New York, he didn't play this well.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play well at all. He didn't even play well enough to say, OK, we should move on from Zach Wilson and allow Joe Flacco to be our starter throughout the rest of the season. What he's doing here is specific to this team and this time. It's specific to the Cleveland Browns being great defensively, the Cleveland Browns being really good in the run game. And I think the bigger thing I want to state about this being lightning in a bottle is that it's okay. It's okay that Joe Flacco may not be the quarterback of the future for the Cleveland Browns, or you may not have to make him the franchise going forward, because what he's doing right now and the feeling around this team is going to make this team the scariest out in all of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I think that they're better than the Baltimore Ravens, right? Because we're going to expect excellence from the Baltimore Ravens. What I think this means is that if you're the team that wins the East, whether it be the Miami Dolphins or the Buffalo Bills, you're scared when this team comes to town.
Yeah.
Right? If you're the team that wins the West, who will be the Kansas City Chiefs, you would be scared when this team came to town. If you're the team that win the AFC South, you for sure scared as hell if the Cleveland Browns come to your stadium.
Here's the thing I'm wondering, though, Dan, when you look at it, because obviously this offense was not running like this when Deshaun Watson was under center. But then last night, 3 of the offensive linemen gone. Amari Cooper just caught 300 yards passing. He was out.
Right.
No Nick Chubb, and yet he still throws for over 300 and leads him to another victory.
Part of that is because Kevin Stefanski, I believe, is wrapped up Coach of the Year as well. There was guys, D'Amico Ryans, absolutely, and Shane Steichen in that conversation, Sean McVay. I think because of what has transpired over the past couple weeks, part of that is because Kevin Stefanski has just wrapped up Coach of the Year, and that's one of the reasons why Joe is playing so well. I think your point of the house money is completely fair. I think that's why we see some of the throws that work out and some of the throws that don't.
Yeah.
You know, because Joe has always been naturally very physically talented. He's always been a dude. You played against him a bunch. He could throw it.
Throw it a mile.
He could throw it, you know. And so you're watching a guy that doesn't have fear of consequence, partly because of the moment and the situation, partly because he knows that the defense is so great. I've always believed quarterbacks that play with great defenses, you could be a little bit more aggressive with the football because you know you're probably going to get bailed out. You don't have to be. This isn't 30 years ago when defenses were great and you'd sit there and go, as long as we protect the ball and we play good special teams, we can win.
Now it's like, let's go get it.
Yeah.
100%. Yep. Let's let the defense play with a lead. Here's my point when it comes to, like, there's something to this. If we're just being football on the field specific honest, with Kevin Stefanski, we've watched 3 quarterbacks play at a good to really good level in this offense over the last 6 years. Kirk Cousins is one.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield is two. Yep. Joe Flacco is three.
Yep.
I don't think any of us are going to sit here and say those are three of the most physically talented players in the NFL at that position. But for some reason, the offense has been good under those three guys, significantly better than it's been under anybody else.
Yeah.
So that's why I sit here and I say, if you're Cleveland, you're sitting here going, we're watching all these other quarterbacks take this offense and play it at a pretty darn good clip. That's why I sit here and say there's something to that. Deshaun Watson, is he capable of playing in this offense at that level?
The thing about this offense, thing about this offense is don't miss, right? When you look at what Joe Flacco is doing, when you look at a lot of these throws, some of these throws to David Njoku, he's butt booty wide open,
100%.
Right? Just butt naked, right? But Joe Flacco isn't missing them. You think about pushing the football down the field to Amari Cooper. There's been an accuracy. There's been an accuracy and a chemistry between Joe Flacco and these receivers deep down the field that we hadn't seen.
Yeah.
There's also been some attempts that we haven't seen. There's some tight window throws that Joe Flacco has made that we haven't seen any other quarterback on this team make this year. And I believe that comes with, one, the arm confidence. I think, two, it comes with the experience of having been a guy that can make those throws, that has made those throws in big moments, and also knowing that right now they ain't taking me off the field anyway.
Good point.
Right? Yeah. So I believe that Joe Flacco is playing in a way, it reminds me of Nick Foles in this.
Yes.
When Nick Foles took over, it was, hey, man, just go out there and be you, put the gas pedal down, and we do what we do. Right? And then when next year when we saw him with the Bears, it was like, oh, they're counting on me.
Right.
Oh, this is my job.
Not the same situation.
Yeah, I got to keep this job.
Right.
This right here is for Joe Flacco, who was sitting at home, who wanted his kids an opportunity where they can understand what it looked like to watch daddy play football. They got a chance now that they didn't have or they didn't think that they were going to have. Right. Your parents, who once wore black and purple with the Baltimore Ravens, now amongst the Cleveland Browns fans, and you are royalty there. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that this is just such a moment for Joe Flacco, and he's embracing that. Like, that smile post game isn't fake.
No doubt.
Right? Saying I feel like I'm 10 years old, that isn't fake, because this game gets so heavy, right? And you don't realize what it's like to not have it until you don't have it. Mm-hmm. And for most of us, we don't get it back again. Mm-hmm. This guy is playing with the joy of having it back again.
He's saying that he feels like he's 10 years old, but he's really 38, and he showed last night. Do you remember after he threw for 300, he's sitting on the bench? Just take a look at this. He fell asleep. He's like, I just threw for 300 yards.
Got a lot of kids.
and he actually started nodding off.
I said it in the tweet, though. Like, once my workout gets a little long, I immediately get 44.
Look.
What you said this morning, you said Joe Flacco got old and a
half. Joe Flacco got old and a half, bro. It's late. This man been carpooling. Because I already know, when I retired and I got to be a part of the carpool, I'm beating every mama. Sally, got you. Right? Diane, you ain't got no
chance.
You
ain't getting first.
You ain't getting first. This man been doing carpool. You go to sleep early. You got my dog playing prime time, and I threw for 300 in the first half.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to take a nap.
And he's been slinging it. This is just the fourth time in the Super Bowl era that the Browns have put up 35 points or more in consecutive games.
Who can't this team beat in the AFC? Realistically,
Baltimore is the team that scares you.
Yeah.
Baltimore is the team that scares you.
They can run it on them.
Because Baltimore can play football in the way that allows them to be more dominant against Cleveland's defense than I think other teams can.
Right.
Especially you watched Breece Hall last night, too, as well.
Had some success.
You could see it has some success. But the Cleveland Browns are playing like a team. Like Juvenile had a song back in the day.
Come on.
He said, acting like a brother that ain't never had it.
Yeah.
Right? They ain't never had nothing. Like, this group of individuals have never had the expectations of having to win. And so now you're like, we lost three quarterbacks. We're playing with Joe Flacco, who was at his house. Our starting running back, who's one of the best players in the entire world, is not here. Right? We don't have Grant Delpit. We've lost people defensively.
Right.
And we are still doing this. That confidence builds every week. And when you listen to the way they talk about 15, they haven't talked about
a quarterback in
2 years.
You know this. When you got a defense that's balling out, and all of a sudden now you got a guy who you know, he can sling it.
Right.
Oh, okay. We can go ball now. We can go beat anybody.
What's more surprising for you? That I know a Juvenile song, or that I only know one Juvenile song?
that you know one period.
Yeah, right. There you go. Let's talk about the big game that's going on in the NFC, because it is a huge NFC game Saturday night. You can see it on ABC, ESPN. Lions visit the Cowboys. Detroit will be going for 12 wins. It will be just the second time in franchise history they've accomplished that if they get a victory. Cowboys, unbeaten at home, need a win to keep pace with the Eagles and avoid their first three-game losing streak in three seasons. Here's Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
It gives you a real good idea of where you're at, because this is one of the top teams in the NFC. It just is. So, and we're out at their place, you know, where they play their best football. Their back's against the wall, so you're going to get their very best shot. Coach McCarthy's done a heck of a job with that team. So I think it's perfect. You know, I really do. And it is. We'll find out exactly what it is, and then we'll move on from there.
All right, so RC, you think the winner of this game, biggest threat to the Niners?
Yes, because I don't believe in the Philadelphia Eagles defensively at all. And I believe that these two teams have some things specific to them that will allow them to at least compete with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, when the San Francisco 49ers are at the top of the game, when the San Francisco 49ers are healthy, I'm already writing that ticket to the Super Bowl. But when you look at the way the Detroit Lions can run the football, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, what we've seen Jared Goff be in the play action game, and on top of this, it's like, because Jared Goff was jettisoned or traded for Matthew Stafford, we forget this guy has gone to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We forget he was able to do everything that he needed to do to put the Los Angeles Rams in that game with the New England Patriots. And I think he can still do that. But this run game with Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, the way that they can control the line of scrimmage, finding ways to keep the football away from Brock Purdy in the playoffs, I believe is huge. And on the other side of that, I just believe in Dak Prescott now. Like, I'm being 100% honest with you. When I look at the Dallas Cowboys, as a team coming into this year, we actually thought Dak was going to be the reason. We said to ourselves, oh, Mike McCarthy's going to find ways on offense to run the ball. That ain't happened.
No.
Right? We said, this defense, if they get up, they're going to close it out. They're going to be dominant. That's not true. The most consistent thing that you can count on from the Dallas Cowboys right now is that number four is going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And when they needed him in the biggest moment last week, you go third down, CeeDee Lamb one-on-one. You throw the sail route. Yep. Right? You got fourth and two.
Mm-hmm.
Great throw. You got fourth and two. You get to the sprint out, you get CeeDee Lamb the football. There were double opportunities where Deshaun Elliott held people in the red zone that stopped touchdowns. And then in the biggest moment, Brandon Cooks on Jalen Ramsey,
you throw a football that
couldn't be thrown any better.
Yep. Yeah.
Dak Prescott is the dude that you need him to be. And your hopes are, if you get an opportunity in the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers, everybody else comes to play.
I love all the points you make. I don't think either of these teams is best and or most equipped to beat San Francisco. Now, I don't think a lot of teams are in the NFC, but I think the team that is best for it is the Los Angeles Rams. I think that, yes, I do. I agree that...
Who's their quarterback?
Stafford.
He loves him.
That's why.
He loves him.
No, but I'm asking that, and most people probably think I'm asking that to troll him. If you actually watch the film...
You would look at three letters.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is nobody just playing the position, not looking at the scoreboard. There is nobody playing the position from a fact of just throwing the football better than Matthew.
Well, I agree.
And you can tell that he certainly was not healthy last year.
Yeah.
And
right.
Now that he's healthy,
Stafford could
always sling it.
Stafford, in many ways, is playing MVP caliber football. He can't win the MVP. I'll be very clear. He's not going to win it because of the losses and the situation of the football team, but he absolutely is playing at an MVP level. There's no question about it. Here's why I say the Rams. If we look at the Rams and say who they are right now, when they get Cooper Kupp on the field, Puka Nacua on the field, Kyren Williams, who's their second-year back, who's leading the NFL in yards per game rushing, and Stafford, that's the best offense in football.
Mm.
That's the best offense in football. Now, do I think that San Francisco would score on them? I do. I think that they'd have to be great in the red zone. But I think San Francisco looks at that quarterback and that offense and goes, we want no part of them. Like, we don't want to see those cats. If you remember 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, I believe they played week 18. San Francisco won that game. The Rams were still in. Obviously, the Rams go on to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to find it fascinating because I believe if San Francisco wins this week and Dallas wins this week, San Francisco locks up the one seed. Mm-hmm. They would play the Rams week 18. Do they plan to keep them out, or do they play them and just try to win, you know, like, hey, we're going to rest our guys and we'll see what happens. I just think that because of the way that the offense is rolling and the way that Sean McVay is committed to that run game, it's a different offense when the Rams won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. It's back to a little bit more of a ground and pound. Yeah. Stafford's making
it's back to Todd Gurley, bro.
100%.
Honestly.
Smash mouth football in many ways. I think that's because they can score on basically anybody. And I think we could probably all agree Ravens are the best team in football right now. Yeah. We have to say that as much as we love San Francisco.
Right.
You know, pushed them to the brink 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks
ago. The Rams. Had to win in overtime on a punt return.
On a punt return.
And, The hardest part for that for me is the Rams' defense.
Sure.
And it's not that Raheem Morris, as the defensive coordinator, hasn't done an amazing job of saying, okay, we're going to keep the football in front of us. We're going to make teams earn it the hard way. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to find ways to put pressure on quarterbacks when we have the opportunities. I just think that the explosivity of who the San Francisco 49ers are, the physicality of who they are, that you got to have, like, you got to have something in the barrel to counteract that. And I believe when you look at the Detroit Lions, it is their run game.
Yeah.
Right? It is their run game because we've watched people move the football on San Francisco by running the football. The Arizona Cardinals 2 weeks ago with James Conner were able to do it and were able to run it. And because I think that keeps them off
the
field.
But let me ask you this, RC. Like, if we're talking about these NFC teams and it's Detroit, Dallas, again, I put in the Rams.
Right.
Whose defense do we really have a ton of confidence in against San Francisco's offense?
Yeah, nobody. Like I said it before.
Right.
Healthy and whole, I don't think anybody beats them.
And so then I go to, okay, I did not expect anybody defensively to do to that offense in San Francisco what the Ravens did.
Right.
But that's obviously an AFC team. I don't think anybody defensively matches up great against the San Francisco.
So for you, it's just about scoring.
Who can score against them? Like, who do I think? Do I think Detroit can score against them? Yes. Do I think Dallas is a better offense now than when they played? It's a different offense. We know that, right? But I just go, who can go and score 35 on that defense to try to win the game? And the team that I think is most equipped to do that is the Los Angeles Rams. When those four cats are playing, we talk about the big five for San Francisco with McCaffrey and Debo and Ayuk and Kittle. Purdy and Kittle. Like, that's, they got their big five. I think the Rams' big four, it's not as good, but it's as lethal. It's as efficient.
I think ball control. The thing I give you, which makes this argument very, like, when I look at your argument, what makes it so good is that I feel like if Matthew Stafford gets hot, they're different.
I agree.
Right? And we've seen him in games be really good
just
this
make
year.
Dumb
but if he's on fire that day, it's a different offense.
Yeah.
Right? And it's an offense that goes above what even Sean McVay could do because of that dude.
Yeah.
It's, does he have it that day?
Sure.
Right? Does he? And what peril do the San Francisco 49ers put him in to push the ball into bad situations?
Mm. Right? Sure.
Can we get Matthew Stafford to turn it over in trying to be
overly aggressive.
What he will need to be in order for them to win?
Yeah. You already know where I stand. I already feel like Cowboys.
The biggest threat.
But where do you see the Lions? Where do you see the Lions?
I think the Lions are match up against good against anybody but San Francisco. I don't know if the Lions, like, I believe the Rams can find a way to get a stop or two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm there yet with Detroit. I think Detroit has a massive opportunity tomorrow.
Yes.
Because, you know, like, I think Aaron Glenn, you know, in Detroit, we talk about this, RC, like, Detroit has gone from a defense that has played a little bit passive to being like, you know what?
They can't.
Chips are down. Well, here we come.
And the reason Detroit's done that, though, is because they're like, I'd rather us go make a play and go take a possession than sit back and try to stop teams knowing that they're going to score anyway.
Yep.
So let's go try to get this football. Yep. And I think Aaron Glenn has tried to put teams behind the sticks.
Exactly.
Instead of saying we're going to be good enough at some point to just get you off of the field with the kids.
Last thing I'll say, Cuss, real quick, about Philly. We got to be a little bit patient because Slay's coming back and Avante Maddox is coming back. And that defense,
that's
a
good point.
Better.
Here's the one thing for the Lions, though. Dak 4-0. Against the Lions, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions
different
at all.
Lions.
It's the only team he's played multiple times he's never lost to.
You like that? Look at you.
Love that.
It's a different
Lions. Love
that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Don't sweat a swing and a miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
I'm Mina Kimes, and my New Year's resolution for 2024 is to beat Dan Orlovsky in literally every debate we have on this show. I already beat him probably 80% of the time, maybe 90%, but my goal is to get that to 100%. Feels quite doable.
Quite doable?
Man, I mean, nobody's like shots fired at you today. What is going on?
I've become like the person that everybody at ESPN tries. First of all, you just lied. Like, you just lied. You were on maternity leave for 4 months this year. You come back, and within the first 2 weeks, you lie to people. You don't beat me on 90% of the times that we debate. Second of all, you're never going to get to 100%. Right. That's impossible.
Right.
No one can versus me. Yeah. Does versus me.
I love that.
That's how I look at RC.
RC is like,
I think you're very intelligent, Dan. I have no argument with that.
Thank you. Mina, stop lying.
100% of the time is a 99? Now, that's super doable. Yeah. But 100%? No way, bro.
Let's get to another big story.
I can't believe she said that.
I know. We got to get your input on this one because Sean Payton, of course, the Broncos have decided to bench Russell Wilson for the final two games of the season. They're going to start his backup, Jarrett Stidham, in large part because of his contract. I'm talking about Wilson's. Payton says the move wasn't an indictment on Wilson, but the offense overall. Here he is.
Sure, in our game today, there are economics and all those other things, but the number one push behind this, and it's a decision I'm making, is to, you know, get a spark offensively. I can't replace the entire offensive line. I can't bring in five new receivers, and if it continues over a period of time, then there'll be another guy here talking to you as well. I can just assure you one thing. I'm just interested in winning.
Okay, so I want you guys to take a look at this. Big part of Russell's benching revolves around the Broncos limiting the amount of risk of having to pay Wilson $37 million if he were to get injured and can't pass his physical by early March. Of course, Russ took to social media on Wednesday saying, quote, God's got me. I'm looking forward to what's next. All right, let's just talk about this because it
be good to get you guys' input on this. What do you think? Is Russ being treated unfairly?
Well, he's being treated without class and mm-hmm. without professionalism. Fair does not matter in the NFL, okay? Life in the NFL for everybody, specifically quarterbacks, is not fair, okay? But here's where I that's my first time of hearing Sean Payton's comments. I got a ton of respect for Sean Payton and what he has accomplished as a coach. We can't sit in a press conference and say, well, the push behind this is strictly to get spark on the offense, when per the reports, and if the reports are true, that there was a go-to with Russell Wilson's representatives saying, hey, we want you to alter the contract and the timing of it when it comes to some of the language. Those two things can't happen at the same time. Right. We can't sit there and say, well, this is just to play better on offense or spark the offense, when we know that you've already went to try and do something to the contract. The second thing is, you can't sit there and say it's only and all about winning. You're 6-3 in your last 9 games. You're still in the playoffs.
Right.
So, and again, if this was a decision that was made strictly because of, well, our chances of get to the playoffs are now 1%, and this is the first time we're hearing about how this was being felt about in the building, different conversation. It can't be about, well, I'm only about winning, when per the report, and if it's true, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, you went to him and tried to alter the language within the contract. Those two things can't happen at the same time. I have no problem with Sean Payton wanting to bench him. You are the head coach. You are entitled to that. You're the owners, the Walmart family. You guys can do whatever you want, but bench him. Don't go to him and say, well, again, per the reports, we want the language altered because we're trying to protect ourselves. But you don't do that to a guy that's a Hall of Fame type of player or their career was on that trajectory. You don't do that to a guy who was the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
But see, and hold on. And to that point, it was right off a victory over the Chiefs where he had thrown for 3 touchdowns.
Guys, this, from the beginning, was a doomed relationship.
Sure.
It was the worst matchup schematically and stylistically of a quarterback and a head coach, and personality-wise, it was a complete miss, right? It's the reason that in the first press conference for Sean Payton, when asked about Russell Wilson and maybe some of the coaches around the building and all of that, instead of saying, you know what, I'm gonna get into the building, I'm gonna meet Russell Wilson, I'm gonna see what was going on last year, what didn't work, so we can move forward together and find a way that it can work, he immediately dismissed him. That's never happened. I don't know. I've never had anything like that. That'll never be that. Which may be true, but from the beginning you said, you know what, I am in no way trying to build something behind closed doors with Russell Wilson that works, right? So we already knew that from the beginning, that there was at least some level of contention between what he thought Russell Wilson was, who he perceived him to be, and who he thought a quarterback should be. Right. And then to hear that he tells Russell Wilson, stop kissing babies, you're not running for office. And I'm from New Orleans. Ain't nobody kiss more babies than Drew Brees. Mm. Ain't nobody go out and show their face and want to be not only the face of a franchise, but the face of a community more than Drew Brees. And that's what you're supposed to do when you're the leader of an organization and you've been blessed the way that these franchise quarterbacks are blessed. Nothing is wrong with that. But for some reason, with Russell Wilson, that rubbed Sean Payton the wrong way enough to go tell him about it as if that in some way affects his play.
Right.
It's the reason he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Right.
It's the reason that people embrace him or people protect Russell Wilson. It's because seemingly he's a good dude. Nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
But for Sean Payton, that was an issue. Now, we've watched quarterbacks throw for 4 interceptions in games with no touchdowns. Quarterbacks who were drafted Mr. Irrelevant. Right? Who get injured and want to play, and we watch their coach talk to them. We watch their coach put their paper up to their mouth
cover
so nobody
mouth.
Can see what they're saying.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I'm saying something negative, if I'm saying something great, or if he's just not having a day that he's supposed to have, I won't berate you publicly. I will treat you publicly as someone who I'm in the trenches with trying to win games. Not the way we saw this man treat Russell Wilson against the Detroit Lions on that sideline.
Sure.
Not the way we saw him say, I'm going to make sure that everybody here knows it ain't me, it's you. And that's all he's done the entire season. Like, Sean Payton has punched down on Russell Wilson, who was already beaten down in 22, worse than any media member, worse than any competitor, worse than any opponent. His behavior as a head coach as it pertains to that quarterback is unacceptable. And if it was anybody other than Sean Payton,
right,
we would be pointing that out.
Right.
But tell me why.
Right.
Like, what has Sean Payton done that is so exceedingly great? He is above treating people with professionalism and respect. He won one the last time I checked.
Sure.
One. He's been to one the last time I checked. He's had losing seasons. His behavior as the head coach got him suspended for a year.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't no Boy Scout.
Right.
So how do you get to treat people like crap because you don't like certain things about their personality? When all Russell Wilson has done is shown professionalism, I'm going to tell you what I would have did. Call my representation early in the year and tell me you want me to change my contract. Adam Schefter know everything. He ain't know that till now.
Right.
Because Russell Wilson's professionalism, along with his representatives, didn't want to make that an excuse. And that man went out and played his butt off for this team.
And got him back into the picture.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Got him back. Look, 26 touchdowns, just 8 picks, a 6 most in the league when you talk about quarterbacks. And I'm not saying that it's an excuse, but listen, when I was in Dallas, Bill Parcells was there. Guess who was the offensive coordinator? Sean Payton.
Sure.
You can tell that he has tried to take that behavior when he became a head coach. Because what did Bill Parcells used to always say? I don't want celebrity quarterbacks. I don't want quarterbacks going around.
But that's
baby.
But that's not true because he had a celebrity quarterback.
Always true.
That's my point. Yeah. He had a celebrity quarterback. For some reason, he felt different about that dude. And I want to say this because I might want Dan to talk. I talked for too long.
No, you.
I'm not saying that Russell Wilson has played superior elite-level quarterback. He's played good, but I don't believe he's played in a way that I feel like a team should be like, yeah, he's our guy going forward. But I also don't feel he was supposed to be treated the way Sean Payton has treated him this year.
Is this sustained on his legacy?
Oh, the whole run in Denver is sustained on his legacy, absolutely. Specifically to last year, there's no question because he was on that Hall of Fame trajectory. Mm. Now it's going down as one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL. Mm. Right now, that and the Deshaun Watson contract with the Cleveland Browns, you know, in Deshaun's contract, there's still an unknown of how it's going to end. This certainly seems like it's ending right now when it comes to the Denver Broncos. I just wanted to, like, finish real quickly on the whole situation. I don't think either of us are sitting here saying you can't bench him.
No.
Right? Like, again, if you, even though I think the play has been top 10, top 12 quarterback play-wise, if Sean Payton wants to bench Russell Wilson because he doesn't want him as the quarterback for the rest of the year or the future, God bless him.
Yep.
He gets that role. My point is this. You can't go to your starting quarterback and ask him to change the way that his contract is worded when you, as the organization, worded the contract in that capacity and then say, if you don't, again, per the reports, if they're true, if you don't, we'll bench you.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way,
until then,
go win.
Go win.
What?
Yeah.
Go win. And then he goes and wins and gets him right back into the conversation. There's just ways you go, and I'm so tired out of respectfully of people saying, well, don't feel bad. Russell's going to get his money. So that means he could be treated poorly? Yeah. Like, when do we get to a point where, hey, man, I'm going to pay you, but I'm also going to undermine you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to treat you the way that your actions aren't warranted.
Yeah.
When do we get to that point?
Another piece is this, too. I'd have a ton of respect, and I believe everyone at this table would understand if Sean Payton said, I don't believe Russell Wilson is our quarterback of the future, and if he is injured, we're on the hook for a guaranteed amount of money that we do not want to pay in 2025. This is the best thing for the organization. And we would say, you know what? You have the right to make that decision, whether I agree with it or not. That's a business decision that you have made as a head coach going forward, and that's okay. But you ain't trying to get no spark.
Yeah.
Amen.
Here's the thing I take from that is when you guys, you and other guys who've played say this, NFL, it's a business.
Yeah.
This was a business.
But there's a way to go about business.
There's a way
to go about it. There's a way to go. You can stick to RC's final point right there. There's a way that you can handle your business without going to a player in doing what they did to him. And he's not just any player. I know people want to see Russell fail, and I know it's fun that people like to see him because of his personality. I don't agree with it, but I know people want to do it. You don't do that to a guy that has represented organizations in the NFL in the way that he has and has been a Walter Payton Man of the Year player.
Bro,
you don't do
the way he represented the Denver Broncos this year
in the last
under
six
that
weeks.
Scrutiny
yeah.
that, and the way that Russell's been treated.
Right.
Come on, man.
Hey, you can't do that to Sierra as well.
What's up, family? This is Swagoo. I have a New Year's resolution. First and every year, my New Year's resolution is to stay me. I don't want to be anybody else. Everybody's taken. But secondly, I'm entering the food space in some capacity. I'm going to be on some show somewhere hosting something. That is my New Year's resolution. I love food too much. I know about food too much. And I want people to enjoy themselves and have a good time with me over a great meal. That's my New Year's resolution.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Time for our sportsbook predictions. Okay, Dan, will Mike Evans have more or less 64 and a half yards against those Saints?
I'm going to say more. Out of respect for the New Orleans Saints defense, I'm not going to sit here and say that Mike Evans is going to go put on a career day. But Tampa Bay in this division title and the way that he's playing with Baker Mayfield is on the line. And this Saints defense has not played to the level that I kind of thought they would this year, and although Marshawn Lattimore usually matches up really well versus Mike, I think with the way that this offense balances Mike and Chris Godwin away from each other, specifically on third downs, Mike is going to get multiple opportunities to get the ball in his hands. If I'm Tampa Bay and I'm Dave Canales, their offensive coordinator, with that division title on the line, Mike Evans is going to get plenty of touches and opportunity early on in this football game.
Yeah, I think it's over as well. Listen, Mike Evans, bro, joined the list this week with Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, T.O. Marvin Harrison of 12 or more touchdowns in 5 or more years. Now, when you think about the consistency of this man's play, he's a Hall of Famer, but also what he's done this year with Baker Mayfield, and it seems like that chemistry continues to grow.
You know, it's interesting because last year people thought, man, maybe Mike Evans is done. Right? He has far and exceeded that, especially in the contract year this year. And he's put up 65 or more yards in 2 of his last 4 games. Okay, will Brock Purdy throw for more or less than 258 and a half yards against the Commanders? What do you think, Dan?
Did he play in the Commanders?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 250 and more. Just because last weekend's performance, very uncharacteristic of him. In many ways, this Washington defense has been, coverage-wise, brutal. I expect Brock to bounce back in a big way.
Yeah, I expect him to throw for more. And the reason being, I think he's going to get Christian McCaffrey involved in the pass game. When you look at that game against the Baltimore Ravens, I feel like that was an underutilized thing by this offense. And I think it helps Brock Purdy sort of get into the feel of the game. And so I expect him to throw for more. And I'm not sure if you've not or have seen the Commanders play defense recently.
Yeah, I was going to say. Listen, he hadn't thrown for 259 in back-to-back weeks. But I'm with y'all. It is the Commanders. All right, Dan. Will Patrick Mahomes throw for more or less than 263 and a half yards against the Bengals?
More. I think they're going to see a lot of man coverage because the lack of consistency and performance by their wide receivers. I think Patrick is going to take advantage of that, and I'm going to say Rashee Rice is the benefactor.
You know what? I'm going to say less. And it's sad to say that even if they see man, it's still going to be less. I just don't think that this team, from a passing standpoint, are as explosive as we're used to seeing. And I think Matt Nagy's going to have to do some different things. Their hope for getting more would be if they pop a couple of screens, because obviously that goes on to the passing total.
Keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes has done it in two of the last 4 weeks. Cincinnati's pass defense allows the fifth most passing yards this season.
That ain't good. Kansas City ain't either.
You're right about that.